Everybody, this is Pastor Buddy. Welcome to the Shepherd's Call tonight. Call a friend and tell them that we're on the air, praise Yahweh, and we're glad to have you aboard tonight. And we got some interesting material we think that we'll have coming your way here just in a few moments, praise Yahweh. And the title of our message tonight is The Pre-Adamic World and Where the Fallen Angels Came From. We're looking into the mysteries of Genesis, and we're actually going to go pre-Genesis, if you will, if we're permitted to. Some people believe that Genesis is actually the start of Adam, and Adam was the father of all of the seeds in the earth, and from Adam and Eve came all of the different varying peoples of the earth. Well, we're going to go beyond the pre-Adam and look at the theories that we could advance into the debate. It is very debatable that the earth is only approximately 5,757 years. In the Hebrew, or the Jewish, I will change it from Hebrew, it is a Jewish calendar system that we're in the year 5,757. And so we haven't even struck off 6,000 years, if you will, of time since the beginning of Adam. Now we're going to get into the chronology of how that date is arrived through the Jewish count and a lot of the Protestant, if you will, Catholic count. So Christian, we would use the word Christian count. And we're going to look into some of the different theories that are advanced in that area. Now, tonight, we want to tell you that tonight is the night that we launch our maiden voyage on soundwaves2000.com. So after the broadcast, we will be concluding the broadcast here at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we will be switching immediately over to soundwaves2000.com. So if you can load it up, basically, if you can go to 2000soundwaves.com, if you're using your computer downloads, you can load up 2000soundwaves.com. And there you can go and click on Truth Radio number 2. And that's where we're located tonight. We're at Truth Radio. And that is number 2. They have, it's channel 2, if you will, audio 5.4, and that's Galaxy 9 on Truth. But you can find it. Truth is actually available through 2000soundwaves.com. So if you'd like to go up there and save you from switching over, actually you're already there on the 2000soundwaves site. And then you can, after the broadcast, if you'd like to continue with us, into the second hour. Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. The Shepherd's Call by design is going over to soundwaves2000.com to finish another hour of the message. So if you'd like to go to part two of the message tonight, we're going to be continuing this very message, and we sort of hate to do that, but if this is such a long message, we're going to bring this two-hour message to you tonight, and we'll have to split the two different carriers, which is Truth Radio, Channel 2, and also 2000soundwaves2000.com. So if you go to soundwaves2000.com and load that, download it, just type in soundwaves2000.com, you will see Truth Radio is listed there. And just click on to Truth Radio number 2, and you should pick up the Shepherd's Call right now live and direct. Then after the show, you won't have to do any switching, as I say. You can just switch on live webcast, and you'll pick up Pastor Buddy at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on soundwaves2000.com. So we think it's very needful. Dr. Gary, my sponsor, is sponsoring the second half of the show, and we are so delighted to have the opportunity to be on 2 hours. Now, the fact that we have to split the two stations is a necessary evil, I guess you would say, but it, to us, it's a blessing. So if you don't care to do a little playing with your mouse, if you are downloading us on the computer downloads, and, of course, all of our micro rebroadcasters, we alert you along the line if there's any way that you can continue playing us through soundwaves2000.com. We'd appreciate it. And so we give you that in advance notice here. It's sort of a short notice because we actually announced it Friday night for all of the listeners that are regular listeners. We warned you that we'd be going to the second hour, but you would have to go to soundwaves2000.com. So most of you have mastered the ability to get there. Sister Sherry, our webmaster up in South Dakota, and she is already putting the information out to you. And tomorrow night, I will give you, I promised you I'd give you her mailing address, but I haven't authorized it or her web email number, but she hadn't authorized me to give it. So I'll delay that till I can get in touch with Sister Sherry, and I could do that for you. Anyway, you can click on the Shepherd's Call. She's given that information out. And that should be available to you already on how to get us. So simply log on to 2000soundwaves2000.com, and then you can go to Truth Radio Channel 2 at 9, and you will pick us up, and then switch to webcast live after the show, and you can just make the transitional change, and we'll be right in your unit coming through on the second hour. Praise Yahweh. Well, glad to have you aboard. Like I say, call a neighbor or a friend and tell them that the Shepherd's Call is on air. We believe through our teachings that we get into some of the controversial subjects that other ministers avoid. And we can understand that we could be construed, if you would, paranoid and extreme in our views and things of this nature, but we take the risk. We run the risk. We know that sheep that are accustomed to meat wouldn't really accuse us of being paranoid or out in left field, so to speak. We believe that you have eaten enough meat that you have the ability to go back into these great mysteries. And, of course, the Bible was written in great mystery. And tonight we're going to cover one of the most, we believe, darkest mysteries in the beginning, and that is the Word. The earth was without form, void, and darkness was up on the face of the deep. Now, we know that God is light, and we understand that in the space, the vast amount of space that we've got to create all the planetary systems, all the stars and the moon and things of this nature, that they had to be already created, or actually being in the process of created, before man got here upon the earth. Well, we agree with that. And so we're going to give you the five theories of the interpretation of the 6 days of creation, and we're going to take you pre-Genesis, or pre-Adam, if you will. Now, Adam, we know that Adam was not created. Now, listen to this. We know that in Genesis 1:26, let me read this and set it up for you, and there is a we believe there's a vast time difference between Genesis 1:26 and Genesis 1. We believe that. But we believe, now listen to this, we believe that this man that is made in the image was predated in Genesis 1 and 1. We believe that the man we're talking about here, Adam, in the spiritual context, if you are a spirit being, you have no beginning and you have no end. Now, I don't know where you can comprehend what I'm talking about here or not, but John 4:24 says that God is a spirit. Now, if you look at that verse of Scripture and then come back and look at you in Genesis 1:26, and God said, now the word God is in era, and of course the word in the beginning, that's the word Genesis itself. Actually, let me give you a little discourse on the name Genesis. It comes from the Greek word meaning beginning. Now, in the Septuagint, which was the ancient Greek translation of the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for Genesis is Bereshit. Now, there's a vast difference between those two words. And I'd like to have time to get into that and structure it for you just a little bit and explain it to you if I can, if I have time, and I will. And the book of Genesis, as we know it, is our only text of the appropriate introduction to the entire Bible. And for that reason, many misconceptions about the creation and how that it was done is the mystery of what we're going to talk about. So, very exciting. We believe it will be very, very educational for you to get into this. Now, let me give you the first theory, and that is the interpretation of the 6 days of creation. The pictorial day theory claims that the 6 days mentioned in Genesis are the 6 days during which God revealed to Moses the events of the creation. But the Bible, now if you, and you, I know you are a Bible seasoned Bible veteran, at least I hope you are a meat eater. You may not have studied the Bible long, but some people, it don't take them long after they get on the truth and after they get, you know, on the trail of truth, that they themselves, they become very hungry, and the Bible said, blessed are the hungry, for those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And the food that we have to eat of is the hidden food in the Scriptures, which is containing the mysteries that are hidden from the world. Now, Yahweh, in his infinite wisdom, if you will, he declared from the very beginning the mysteries written into the book. Now, there is a reason for this, because Yahweh himself would not disclose his detailed, if you will, his timeline for creation, for after time, or after the fall, we believe pre-Adam, after the fall, that there was a new beginning. Now, we believe this new beginning for Adam happened approximately 6,000 years ago, because if you get the chronology, which you find in the King James Bible, and that's what we're using here tonight. There's other Bibles. But anyway, by deduction, I guess you would mean, that if you go and look up the calculations of the genealogies from Genesis chapter 5, beginning at verse 11, you will find that there is a starting date, and we use the starting date, we think it's pretty accurate, for Adam. That's 404 B.C., to be exact, by using the chronological order of descendants, sons, and generations up until this present time, then there would be approximately 6,004 years, and we're 602, and so then we may be 2 to 4 years off in the timeline, and so that we're close in the ballpark of that figure. But, ladies and gentlemen, I think it's very absurd to think that this earth is only 6,000 years old, and that man himself, we're talking about Adam, pre-Adam, and the artifacts that can be directed. We have evidence, skeletal evidence, that man is perhaps into the millions of years that he's been on this planet. Now, that is a wide gap. We're going to cover some of the theories that are advanced in your thinking. Set this into your mind, let it framework it into your mind, build a gestalt of information for your downloading into your spiritual brain, if you will, or your giant spiritual computer, that which tells you whether it's right or wrong or not, and you can judge, because the Bible said the Spirit is a thorough guide. If they speak not according to the Spirit, it's because there's no light in them. We believe that a lot of preachers today are guilty of no light. Now, we know from the 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that Satan himself has transformed himself. We know he is one of the dark fallen angels we're going to talk about here in the next 2 hours. But we know that he himself, according to the 12th chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians, that he himself is a fallen one. He is the, well, he's the very epitome of darkness. He fell, meaning that he fell from the light area where God dwells. Now, in 1 Timothy 6:15, it is recorded that God, now, remember what God is. God is a spirit. So a spirit is not a, like, quote-unquote person. We are limited in our ability to comprehend God, for it's a great mystery. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, and God was preached unto the Gentiles, and God was seen of angels, and God was received up into glory. That's what it says in the Scriptures. But in the context of what God actually is, he's a spirit. And this spirit is the all-invasive force that everything upon the earth that breathes, the animal plant kingdom, mineral plant, humankind, animal kind, and everything that has life about it, it actually has to thrive from the very essence of God, the eternal spirit. If you're void of that, there is nothing lives without him. And so there is some things that he's ordained to be temporal. And there's where we're getting into this equation of the certain spring and the offspring. They are temporal. They are not eternal beings. Then there is eternal beings that was with him. Remember what it says in the book of Job, chapter 1, that when the heavens and earth were created, the sons of God shouted for joy. Now, how can that be? Now, this word, sons of God, is, as I have indicated here, is Strong's number 430. And so by being Elohim changes the whole context of our thinking here. So if you can think in terms of angelic beings, pre-Adamites, then we're going to look into that area because we know they existed. We're talking about angels, that they actually existed before Adam in a flesh body. Now the question is we're going to try to measure up and try to give you an appropriate response to the questions that might form in your mind as we go through this, because this is a very deep, complex presentation here, because we wouldn't give it to you unless we thought you were capable of receiving it. We'll put it that way. So we have complete trust in you and your own digestive ability and spirit matters to really ingest this and then digest it into your spiritual mind and then arrive from it, just like the cow eating hay. You know, you eat the hay and spit out the drawer. So if there's anything here that you can't handle in my projection, because, you see, I lean way out upon him. I take the liberties of going back into the very beginning to claim that I myself was with him when he created the heavens and earth. Now, that might blow you away. But I live comfortably within the framework of my own understanding that I know that I was with him. Now, if you don't believe that, if you were actually with him, let me give you a scripture to think on that may compromise some of your resistance to that theory. Remember, your name was written on the Lamb's book before the foundation of the world. Now, if your name was on there, the question would be there, if he knew your name, were you existing prior to the creation of the earth? Wow. Well, that's, you see why I'm telling you this is going to be some deep stuff here, praise Yahweh. So you better forget your waders and just pull your old fleshly garment off and jump in here bare naked, spiritually speaking, and let's take a swim together, praise Yahweh. Now, the Archbishop Usher arrived at the date by simple deduction, and then by his calculations, we have adopted the 6,000-year or about philosophy of modern theology. Now, what does modern theology know about spiritual matters? Because actually, science has been wrestling with this matter for thousands of years, I guess. Modern theology had just begun to grasp the outer fringe, if you will. Now, we hope we're going into the inner center of this very controversial subject tonight, and by complete design, we're going to calculate the span of time between the various events in early history of man. Thus, we're going to present certain significant names and give you some benchmarks, if you will, revelations about how the fallen angels pre-existed in a fallen state before the creation where Adam had to express himself in a flesh body. Now, I'll give you that revelation to say in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 26, and Elohim, now remember, when you see the word God here, it's a misnomer. It shouldn't be in there, ladies and gentlemen, as God singular. God, it sounds like God said, let us. Now, how can that be? See, it's a contradiction right off the bat. So what the translators did, they didn't understand the comprehensional word of the Hebrew. If they did, they for the sake of causing confusion, if you will. Well, I believe instead of eliminating confusion, it brought confusion. Because if you look at this word, Elohim 430, Strong's number 430, look it up. It is a headship company of mighty ones. I believe, and I hope you believe this, that you were with him in the beginning as a headship company of mighty ones. That we pre-existed, pre-Adam, we're pre-Adam now, I'm pre-Adam, I'm all the way back before Adam. Adam ain't entered into the equation at this point. Now then, the Bible said there's nothing new under the sun, for what is to be has already been. Now, if there was a earth or a world or an existence or, if you will, a civilization that pre-existed before seventh day, or let me rephrase that, eighth day Adam. Now, the difference between Genesis 1:26 and if you go over to Numbers chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 7. And the Lord God, here again, it's Strong's number 430. And Yahweh Elohim is what it's talking about. Yahweh and Elohim. Now, that's Yahweh and a headship company of mighty ones. Or do you understand what I'm talking about here? Now, I hope you do. Hope you get this. Then I'm going to say to you directly that God didn't think it robbery for you to be equal with him. If you're going to be equal with him in the end, which is where you hope to wind up, where a crown is made for your head, already fitted, your name's on it, it was given to you before this foundation. Now, if he knew your head size and he knew your name, is there a possibility that you were with him? Ah, that's where the intrigue, the mystery of trying to bring you up to speed here, to get you that Christ in you. See, most people are looking for this pie in the sky Christ. When the Bible says, you know, very emphatically, that the kingdom of heaven is within you and it don't come with observation. That's Luke 17:20. Oh my, we're down at the break. And ladies and gentlemen, this is Pastor Buddy and Shepherd's Call, and we got a good one lined up for you. We're going to go for another hour after this one. So let's just wind up and get ready. Praise Yahweh. I call a friend while we're on break and tell them that Pastor Buddy's on, and I'll be on for another hour after this one. Pastor Buddy and Shepherd's Call Truth Radio is your serving host here tonight. We enjoy being with you. Call a friend. We'll be back in two. Stay tuned. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy in the Shepherd's Call. Glad to have you aboard tonight. We are in the pre-Adamite stage of the beginning. We're going back before the creation or the making of Adam, if you will. And we're looking at the earth as it was without form, void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. Now, if the scripture is true that there is nothing new under the sun, for what is to be has already been, if that we have an earth here in its existence as it is, then it was somewhere else pre-existing if it was in its present form today. So things have evolved down, and we're looking at the theories that will calculate the time periods that we're looking in. Now, we're in the five major theories. And the pictorial day theory claims that the 6 days mentioned in Genesis are the 6 days during which God revealed to Moses the events of creation. But the Bible relates the creation as clearly simply and historically as it does any other events. So to interpret the text in this manner requires the abandonment of all the exegetical principles of the events. Now, the gap view, second theory, is the gap view. This claims that Genesis 1:1 describes an original creation which was followed by the fall of Satan and great judgment. Now, that's how that most people begin or to believe as they read it. Because, see, most people read the Bible in its literal state in a carnal mind, and they get false conceptions and false ideals, and therefore it generates false beliefs or false religion, if you will, from so-called. So the gap theory, it's a great creation of the original creation, which was followed by the fall of Satan and a great judgment. In Genesis 1 and 2, it is then supposed to be a description of the recreation or the restoration that took place. Now, it teaches that all the universe, including the heavens and in the earth of Genesis 1:1, was created in the six-day period mentioned in the first chapter of Genesis. Now, the intermittent day theory claims that the days mentioned are literal days, but that they are separated by long periods of time. However, unless all of the creative activity is limited to the literal days, this view is in direct contradiction to Exodus 20 and verse 11. We'll get into that later. The day-age theory, now we're going to look at this. It claims that the word Yom, Y-O-M, 31:17 in the Strong's, which is the Hebrew word for day, is used to refer to periods of indefinite length and not to literal days. While this is a viable meaning of the word, as it is recorded in Leviticus 14, then it is not the common meaning, nor it is the meaning of the word as for a sufficient foundation for the theory. All these theories now have a little problem here, and we're going to show you why. The literal day theory, which is the theory that accepts the clear meaning of the text, the universe was created in six literal days, and the various attempts to join together the biblical account of creation and evolution are not supportable even by the various gap theories because the order of creation is in direct opposition to the views of modern science. And I've told you that science and creation are conflicting because the logic of science has no reasoning in spiritual creation. It just doesn't compute. For if spirit, which is cannot be seen, then the logic of science falls on its face in reality, because in the theories that are advanced, these two conflict together, rightfully so. So now we take the creation theory and the evolutionary theory, which science subscribes to evolution. There is a certain evolutionary plants and animals, and of course they include the human chain that we washed up as some little speck of a bacterial grime, if you will, out of the ocean of nothingness, and we begin to wiggle like a worm, and then we evolved into something, and then something else, and something else, and so on, until we got to the ape stage, and then we, you know all those theories. So we don't even want to go there. That I think that is beneath the spiritual understanding of my class that we've got today here. So we won't even go into that. Now, in his own free will and his absolute power. Now we're talking about the ability of the Elohim to control the forces of nature. Now, let's look at the situation in reality, and we're going to talk about the pre-Adamic world and if they were actually two floods instead of one. Now, that's another theory that we're going to bring in the second part. We're going to really get into that. We may have to go to part two tomorrow night and continue this if we don't get it finished up in 2 hours, which As you very well know, I mean, we could talk about this for 6 months and a half, wouldn't be told probably, but we're going to give it justice by trying to expend as much time on this matter to sort of clear up a lot of the questions that may be in your inquiring mind. Now, as the old saying goes, inquiring minds want to know. And I am one of those that have gone back in from pre-Genesis 1 and 1 and tried to look behind the veil of the, to see if there's anything behind the veil of the scriptures from Genesis 1 and 1. I believe that when Moses, now listen to this very careful, when Moses was called up into the mount, and remember he was given a tablet, if you will, a book, is the way I look at it. Because he spent, now get this, he spent 40 days in the mount. And this 40 days that he spent was aboard, I believe, the chariot of Yah, or these Elohim gods, if you will. And they gave him the instruction into his mind on how to write the book of Genesis. And he wrote it with he actually broad brushed it, if you will, in code. We think there's several codes throughout the Bible. And Moses wrote these things because we know specifically that the Messiah, he referred back to Moses in the New Testament. He said, Moses wrote of me. And yet there's not one scripture where he ever mentioned the name Jesus Christ. So specifically, he wrote of someone, some character that would stand approximately 3,000 to 4,000 years in the future, because he said there's time that God will raise up a prophet like myself. Him shall you hear. And beware of him and provoke him not, is what the angel told Moses, because my name is in him. And here we have these unfolding mysteries that we get into in the book of Ephesians, as I have already indicated to my listening class here, that in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, it is recorded. First time, now this was by the Apostle Paul. It was a code given by the Messiah himself on the torture stake when he was hanging there between heaven and earth as a witness against all of the evil of the children of darkness. And that's what we're in here to destroy, or to overcome, if you will, or to put down all evil rule where righteousness and a new heaven. Now, we're going to go to that third phase, a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, Peter spoke of this world that was destroyed, that we're talking about the time of the flood. We're talking about the world pre-flood, and there is where that the scriptures indicate in the book of Ephesians. I'm going to go there real quick to give you just a small take on the book of Ephesians as it is recorded in the book. Paul made mention of the very fact in the fourth chapter here where it says in verse 9, now he that ascended. Now, the logical question here. Let's go back to the torture stake, or what you would know in Christian terms as the cross. We believe it was just a tree cut down. It was not in a Roman pagan symbol of a cross. It looked nothing like the pictures that depict it today. It was actually a tree. They just went out and found a tree that would fork into a Paleo-Hebrew wa. It's the third figure in the divine name, and it looks like a tree that is wide out. So actually, they would just cut down a small tree. We believe it to be one which we know today as the dogwood, because of the beautiful blooms. It shows the four blood spots in the body that he had, and the pierced side, which is the fifth, which actually four for the name, and five is a code for grace, which he died for those who were not worthy to die and redeem themselves. Now, everybody believes that Christ, when he died, he went back to heaven. And that's not true. He went to heaven, but there is a time gap. And that's what we're going to talk about in Genesis chapter 1, pre-flood. There is a time gap here. We believe that there was a civilization, if you will, a society that existed before Genesis 1:1. Oh, my. That's going to get Well, if I didn't lose you there, praise Yahweh. If you can stand that stretch of your imagination, then it's hard to stretch your imagination anymore. So within that stretch, you may be able to comprehend some of the things that we're going to give you right here. Verse 9, now he that ascended, what is it he that he but also descended first? So before he ascended up into heaven, what this is telling us, he descended into the lower parts of the earth. Now, we look at that as hell, Sheol, if you will, in the Hebrew, derivative. If you would look at that word there, it is the word in the Greek, paradise. Now, what's so wonderful, we look at paradise as a place where we enjoy ourselves and have a great time, but we look at hell as a place where we languish and we roll and we burn and we roast and we're barbecued from, and we're scootered on a pitchfork and we're really in pain and agony. That ain't what Christ said. He told the thief, actually, he spoke to both of them. One denounced him, the other spoke favorably for him, but he said, today, both of them, you will be with me in paradise. Now, where is this paradise? Paul went to it when he said, I know I was out of the body, or whether it's in the body or out, I don't know, but I do know I went to a place called the third heaven. This is where actually Christ went to redeem those in the pre-flood and that had lived before the flood. So then we've got a segment here that of gap here that we're looking at, and this is the information to give you the download, that he that descended is he also that ascended up far above all heavens that he might fulfill all things. Now, if you go over to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 8, verse 18, I'm going to start at 18, if you will, and this is some of the reviewing. We've taught on this particular part of the flood message before, but we've never tied it to the pre-Adamic race as we're going to do tonight, praise Yahweh. So you hang right with us and listen to this scripture. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to start at verse, let's start at verse, verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered. Remember now, he descended, that's suffered. For sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death, that's on the torture stake, in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Now remember, there was three things that left his body upon the torture stake. We believe that those are the three necessary things that has to be given back to you in your spirit man, that you may also ascend in heaven. Now what were they? Water, blood, and spirit. Now if you go to, hold the scriptures where you're at, if you're studying with me tonight, go over to 1 John, that is just a few books over in toward the book of Revelation. 1 John, we call it Little John, if you will. And look at chapter, if you will, look at chapter 3. And we're going to look at, let's go to 5 first. 5, and let's look at verse 6. Yeah, that's a good one. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. Now, I'll give you just a second to get there if you're keeping notes or if you are following us in scriptures. Everybody tell me, Pastor Buddy, slow down. We can't keep up with you. Please, 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 just slow down and take it easy. So we're going to really try to do that and for your sake, for those that are really following in the scriptures. But if you're just keeping notes, you'd be better just to keep notes, and then maybe you can go back and review this and get the archives. We are, by the way, archived on Truth Radio, and you can get our Shepherd Call. Sister Sherry should have sent you our webpage, and we're making some necessary changes. Now she's getting it ready, and I think it's probably the final page will be ready to send out to you very shortly. So if it's all right with her, I'll give out information on how to get in touch with her by her email or by her telephone number if she prefers to be kept up all night long. And I hope you do keep her up, praise Yahweh. And she can work a little for Yahweh. She's a wonderful lady up there. Her and her wonderful husband are fellow workers along with the Shepherd's Call, and they really support me in this message. This is he that came by water and blood. Remember, I told you three things left the body on the torture stake: water and blood. Now, notice that in the beginning, in Genesis 3, there had to be an atonement for sin. When Cain slew Abel, it was the slaying of the righteous, and so blood had to cover blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Now, that's a strange statement. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So it's an absolute necessity for blood to be shed before redemptive salvation can come. Now, water was also, now remember, we're in the days of the flood. We are pre-days of the flood. We're getting up, we're coming into the time of the flood at this particular instance. We're going on back in the second half. We're going to go on back beyond where the angelic beings were. We believe man, 126, Genesis 126, and man, Adam man, that was made on the eighth day. Now, remember, the seventh day man and the eighth day man are two different individuals here. The Genesis 126 man and the eighth day man, remember now, Yahweh and Elohim rested after the seventh day. And there was not a man to till the ground. So then, Adam was formed out of the dust of the earth. Now, this is completely different than the Genesis 1:26 man. So then, we've got two men. Now, how that we merge these two together, I'm going to show you how that the spirit then lost his position in the pre-flood dispensation. He lost his position in the heavens. He could no longer stay with the Elohim. There had to be a separation. Now, he, by choice, now, get this, I'm going to show you a great mystery here. The Bible said Adam was not deceived. So this must have been a voluntarily thing that he done so that he could deliberately fall with the other part of himself. Now, this is a strange saying, but Eve was taken from Adam. And Adam so dearly loved her that he gave up his ability to walk among the Elohim. Now, I'm talking about this man, Genesis 1:26 man, that was made a little lower than the angels and yet walked among the angels in the garden, which is the spiritual paradise of the 12th level. And we're going to get into the levels later on and show you how that these levels correspond to the progression of man or the digression of man. Either way it goes, you can choose this day, and there is a time limit on the choices that you make and these choices by which you make, these are very important on where you wind up. Remember now, if there's a third heaven, Paul spoke about a third heaven, there'd have to actually be a first and a second. Now, if there's a first and second, there is possibility there could be a third and fourth and so on and so forth. We'll get into that and show you the dimensional levels where man came from. Now, Adam voluntarily. Now, I repeat. Adam, the Bible says, very, very emphatic, it says Adam was not deceived. Now, to be a willing participant, if you will, this is by choice. And this brought Adam down, and the Father, since he didn't want to curse the man, he cursed the earth where man would dwell. Now, this is in the third dimension. He cursed that earth. There's an inward earth, there's an outward earth, and then there's dimensions within that, praise Yahweh, that we'll get into in the levels of comprehension, and maybe sometime I can really do a whole complete series on the whole 12 levels. And we hope that we can do that for you, praise Yahweh, if time permits. Here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now, here we got three ingredients, water, blood, and Spirit. Now, what left his body on the torture stake? Let's review this. Remember, Paul said, he that ascended first descended. Now, before he descended, his body had to give up three elements, and element number one was blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Now, here we're fixing to have remission of sin. The Father is going to die for the sins of his people. Now, only the lost sheep of the house of Israel did he die for. He came to his own. Now, so blood is the ingredient that was shed for the remission of sin. And this is the type, if you will. Remember, the Son of God, it says in the book, was slain from the foundation of the world. Do you get that? Yahweh came himself in a flesh body to cover the sins and the disobedience of man, fallen man, if you will, to make a kinsman redeemer, a rectification for his sins. Now, this is a beautiful story, if you will, of how that we were redeemed in a fallen state. And if you wonder why that you've ever, why you had to come down here, and the Bible said even those that sinned, that didn't sin. Now, let me rephrase it. Even those that did not sin after the similitude of Adam's sin, meaning Adam's was voluntarily, so it must mean that if you didn't sin, well, what was the penalty here? Well, the penalty was that you were in question after sin entered the camp. Now, before sin could be cleansed from the camp, because no sin can dwell where he is, and therefore, no one could come back to him, and it worked in the hand of Satan and the fallen ones, which we're going to get into. And it looks like we're going to have to go into that tomorrow night. We're going to get into part two of this. Tomorrow night we'll go into a little more depth, because we're coming into this area of explanation that we need to show you that there are three that bear record in heaven. Now, that's verse 7. Three that bear record in heaven. Now, what are they? Now, remember, there were three things that left his body. Water, which is the redemptive. You remember the first earth was destroyed by water. Now, the second reason or the cause for water is the ingredient. Remember, it's the blood has to be applied to your sins, and you have to have your body washed in pure water, and that's repentance and baptism. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So then, faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word, and the word is Nicodemus, except you're born of water and spirit, you can't enter in. Now, a lot of people try to spiritualize this, but it was a natural situation that Yahweh walked out into. He didn't walk in out into the spirit. Paul and all the apostles baptized, Peter baptized, all the apostles and the followers of Christ literally water baptized for the remission. And that's a prerequisite for you to get back into the kingdom. That's a small matter. But these people, they're so stubborn and bullheaded that they won't get off their lazy rear end and find a minister. He said, well, I've been baptized three or four times, Pastor Buddy. Well, if you're not baptized in the name of Yahweh, you got a problem. My time has flown here. I'm down at the end of the time, and I can't even give you my mailing address because I've got so carried away. Well, we'll see you on the other side here on Soundways 2000. Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call, we'll see you tomorrow night here on Truth Radio. Join us here on Soundwave 2000.
Thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.